Wizard Magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 446. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Spencer,
Dave,
Pat,
Mike,
Brandon.
We have a couple questions. Okay. What DC Comics post-future state book are you most excited for?
Robin.
What'd you say?
Robin.
I'd say Tom Taylor's Nightwing and his Batman miniseries.
Batman Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Spencer, yeah, are you not?
Yeah,
I know you don't want
Nightwing. Yeah.
You don't want Nightwing. No, he doesn't like Nightwing. Dave, any are you looking forward to?
The Mark Russell one, the Superman.
But what post future state?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Post. Yeah, because that's just a 3-issue mini that I don't think is getting.
I'm not. Okay, I misunderstood. I'm not sure. We're talking about the. I'm not sure, honestly.
Okay, I'm looking forward to the Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, I hadn't really read any of Rom V's DC stuff, but I really liked the Justice League Dark backup in the Justice League book.
So I'm interested to see how the Bendis' Justice League book is going to, how that's going to be.
Yeah. Giddy.
I'd say, you hope that's going to be a big seller.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Ludwig asks, which will return first? Weapon H, Wolverine's Hot Claws, NFL Super Pro, or Triathlon?
Can none of them?
I'm thinking Triathlon is probably going to be the first one back.
What was the first one?
Weapon H. It was that big Hulk-Wolverine combo dude.
With the things coming out of his back?
Yeah.
I don't even know what Triathlon is.
He's a character who has like three powers. I forget exactly what it was. He was I first really read about him. He was in, I think, Avengers Academy. And then I remember a real old What If that he was in. But I don't think the Hot Claws are ever coming back, because I think that was a really... that didn't never went anywhere, never made any sense.
Did they actually write that out? Or
Hot Claws? Oh, I don't remember.
Because I think Hickman's thing came, and like I think...
Yeah,
it just
Soul
never...
started that, and then it kind of went away. And NFL Super Pro, who knows?
Was that a licensing deal? Anything more than was that a one shot or was that like a mini? Because I only just see like the first issue.
That's because it was in Walmart packs. I'm going to say it probably went six or so. And then Mr. Ludwig also asked, any chance we'll see another President Luther story? And my initial response was to say, too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's let that cool off a little.
The only way I could see that coming back is if they do it in, like, a movie or, like, a TV show or something. I could see them doing comic books to tie in. But I feel like they explored that, because he was president for, like, a couple of years.
Yeah, I think that might be...
That's what they do, like,
it might be a generation
story.
Away or so, and once people forget.
Yeah, at least give it a good 8 years. Cool.
At least one term. News-wise, I know they announced a lot of stuff, but it's all going to be in next week's previews kind of thing. They never seem to announce stuff super far out.
Donny Cates is leaving Venom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're ending it at like 200.
Which is 35, I think it is.
But yeah, because I remember the last series ended at 165, and then, of course, they had to give it a new number one, and now it's like Wolverine went, you know, suddenly was at 350. It's like, well, I remember 300.
And you think Wolverine would be at a higher number than that by now?
No, Venom.
I know.
No,
I'm just saying they love to go up to numbers, yeah.
In Seven Secrets, they're reprinting the first six issues.
Yeah, because they keep selling out.
And then, but they've got cool covers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a... There's one character, and then on the second issue, there's more characters and more, and then eventually you get to, like, the full thing.
All seven of them.
Well, it's it's more than seven, because it's like the first one is the main guy and then his parents and then like,
okay,
but that's gonna like fill the gap for February and March, and then number seven will come out in April, so there is like a pause on that.
Okay.
Okay, any other news anybody saw? Nothing I can think of. Well, we can't talk about WandaVision because not everybody's seen it.
And no one understands it.
Nobody understands. I don't want to say I understand it. I think I see where they're going.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's been fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely give it that. But as far as making sense, not so much. In a David Lynchian way.
I'm a piece of cherry pie.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch that. I got the new Showtime series on DVD, and I really want to sit down and watch it again.
I thought you watched
it. Oh, I did watch it. Oh, okay. But I want to watch it again with like the commentary. Maybe it'll make sense.
Okay.
Elliot Rahal, Elliot Rahal was talking about trying to watch Twin Peaks, and he couldn't get into it, and he didn't understand it. And I responded, so I said, it's like a Morrison book. Don't try to figure it out. Just watch it and let it happen. Said, I watched the Showtime series, and I couldn't even begin to try to explain it to you. But it was fascinating, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, who read something? Pat, why don't you start, since you weren't here last week.
Yeah, I know. I was doing stuff.
Were playing with Pooh.
Yep. Start Man's World.
I read that.
Yeah.
I brought it home, but I didn't get to it. I started it, and it didn't grab me on the first page, only because I had a stack to get through, and I just set it aside.
So, it's kind of like a Westworld, almost, type situation, where it's a resort for the ultra-rich, but you can go hunt, like, weird alien dinosaur hybrids and things like that. So this guy who, I guess he's like an MMA fighter or something like that, and his best friend just got divorced, and they got another friend that owns like a knockoff Burger King type thing, and there's a fourth guy. They all go to this planet because the main guy's friend just, he's getting over a divorce. It's kind of like a boys' weekend in Vegas, except for Vegas is this man's world. So they get there. And there was some kind of glitch where they couldn't go out on safari right away. So they're like, okay, well, we'll just go not in, like, the resort area, but where the people that live on the planet go. They're the local bar.
Yeah.
They kind of run into some trouble with some townies and, don't think anything of it. And
totally their fault, too.
Oh, yeah. No, they were totally being, entitled douchebags.
Yeah, and the townies that they mess with, they all have the same, like, Mike Tyson tattoo.
Yeah.
So it's, like, pretty clear they're, like, a gang of
or something.
Some kind. Yeah.
So they go off on their safari, and their ship gets blown up, and we find out it's the townies that did it, because they found out which ship they were on,
They turned off the satellite too, so nobody would be able to see that they went down.
And my guess from here, it's probably going to be like a most dangerous game type situation where the townies are hunting these guys.
So, did anybody else get a very kind of like Negan feeling from the fighter guy? I don't know if it's just because like his weird head or like because he had like the jacket kind of thing.
To me, he looks like The Rock and Dave Bautista had a baby.
I think that's a pretty apt description. But it was interesting.
I
get why the first page may not have grabbed you because it was people talking on a spaceship, but
nothing against it. It's just as I was plowing through a lot of books.
I understand.
Yeah, they do a lot of just setting up the who the people are and what the world is. It's not until like the last two or three pages that they kind of turn it on.
Seven Secrets, number six.
Read that.
Yeah. I read that.
So we finally got to see what one of the secrets are. And
technically,
well,
two.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know what either one of them are. When you know we last left everybody, they were in this compound that was now being attacked.
Which was a real bad idea, but
yeah. So their first plan is to attack their attackers because they'll never expect it, and that works for a little while, and you know till someone with a rocket launcher.
Yeah, they were just too outnumbered.
Yeah, screws that one up, and then what's her name, Tanya or Tanja. Says, you know, hey, open number three, and then all the rest of the secret keepers take off, and it's like some
like
other universe
thing,
almost.
Yeah.
The bad guys capture a secret first.
They capture number one, but hadn't opened it yet.
Yeah, they sliced off what's his face is. The guy with the mask, they slice off his hand. That was a pretty cool
Kanto.
Yeah, Kanto's hand.
And then, you know, when they open number one, it gets very Ark of the Covenant, where everybody, like, it's white, blinding, and you know, you presume everybody just, like, melts and dies.
Which, whatever caused Alanis to sink. Because she says something, do you ever wonder what happened to Alanis? And then that's whenever, like, everybody gets dead.
And then the group that went through this portal that opened up when they opened up number three, the main character kind of steps away from everybody else, and two aliens find him and like, you don't remember who you are, do you?
Right after being told, hey, don't go off the path.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't stay on the path.
Yeah. And just follow us.
Yeah.
Keep up.
And the first thing he does is just turns his head and just starts going off the path.
Yep.
Yeah, he sees like two lights and just puts a foot off the edge.
Well, then they also made a statement that you don't remember you can fly or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, first it was like you don't remember who you are, and then, you know, you don't remember you can fly. So, yeah, that's not where I expected this to go, but sure.
So well, that's those are two who knows how much the mind game that, like, that is being played, being inside a, you know, whatever that dimension or wherever they're at.
Yeah.
See, and I got the sense that those were like evil fairies or something. I didn't think they were like alien.
I thought they were aliens.
Yeah.
Just the way they were drawn and like they're
very like, much the great big headed alien. Yeah. Mm. It could be fairies. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Are
alien
they,
fairies.
Is,
yeah.
These seem to be like ancient
aliens.
Secrets. So like, they're probably tied to. You know, like mythology. That's at least where I'm thinking it's going.
Future State, Robin Eternal.
Read that.
So that was interesting.
So this one's not as far in the future because it doesn't even look like it's a year in the future, age-wise.
None of the Batman ones are that far in the future.
Yeah. But it's still at whatever point after Bruce has been killed.
Mm-hmm.
Killed.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
Something definitely happened to Stephanie.
Yeah, she lost an eye. They said Dick was locked up in Arkham, but that's probably not true.
Yeah, I guess we'll, yeah.
Because Team Titan seems to show that he is not locked up in Arkham, unless that's not really him.
Well, then he got his own book, too.
Yeah, well, that came out today, so I don't know what that one was. Well, Jason went on the other side, I guess. He's working for the magistrate. And I don't remember what they said happened to Damien. But basically, the magistrate is using the Lazarus Pit to make these cyborgs. And supposedly they become indestructible, but the first batch really wasn't indestructible. So... Tim goes to visit one of the girls from We Are Robin, which I don't remember Tim Drake being involved in that, but I thought that was Duke Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't, but, you know, maybe they all knew each other. I don't know. but got her to help because Stephanie said she wouldn't help Tim. And then Stephanie shows up to help Tim. Mm. And in the course of them fighting to get this new resin, which makes these things indestructible, Tim gets killed, but gets thrown into the Lazarus pit, and now he's also, he's back for round two.
Yeah.
So apparently he is now eternal. So, that was okay.
Yeah. The art in it's great.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons why I got the book was the artist.
Okay. Dark Detective.
Really?
So, in this one, we find out that Bruce is, in fact, not dead.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Why kill off Batman? It's crazy talk.
I mean, if Darkseid couldn't kill Batman, I mean...
Yeah. So, first, these magistrates said they killed Batman, and then, like, 2 days later, Bruce Wayne is dead. No one puts two and two together. But... Yeah, he's just kind of hanging out around...
Like when Superman came back after 5 years, and so did Clark Kent?
Yeah.
Superman Returns?
Well, look, you take your glasses off, you really can't tell. But he's hanging out around Gotham, which kind of makes it... How come people don't recognize him at all? Like, that's... You know, that he's famous. People should know who Bruce Wayne is and see him. But it was just okay.
So I felt like they were like, just like the word balloons that are like his inner monologue at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I was not sure it was Batman at the big one, like speaking. It didn't like tonally feel like Batman. So
that's fair. That I mean, it looked like Bruce Wayne, but you're right. Tonally, didn't sound like he would.
Yeah, it was clearly Bruce, like Batman, in the each frame. But like, I wasn't sure who the narrator was.
Okay.
At first, eventually, it was obvious. But just like the tone seemed off. So.
Okay. The backup in this was Grifter. Did anybody read that?
Yeah.
I actually liked that.
It was Matt Rosenberg did that.
Yeah. It's... First, he's hanging out playing cards, and they have, like, a deck of cards for all the vigilantes that they're trying to catch.
Yeah.
But he gets captured and thrown into a truck with Batwing, or, Luke Fox. And then, so this is obviously after everything that happened before. So the Foxes are billionaires at this point. And that's why Grifter was kind of like, well, you can just buy your way out of this. And Luke Fox is going to pay him $50,000 to help him get out. Apparently something happened with Grifter and Lucius Fox. And I don't think we know what that is yet. I assume that's going to be part of the story.
Well, before they did this, they showed... He hired him as, like, a bodyguard for some place, or, like, for security someplace. But then they jumped to the future state stuff, so...
Right, but, I mean, like, we don't know what actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll find out when we get back to probably the normal stuff.
Yeah, or they'll talk about it during the course of the book. But, so they escape, and Grifter... he agrees to help, Luke get, I guess, to the safe zone. But then they capture Huntress, which I'm not sure why they did that, unless Grifter's trying to get a bounty or something. I mean, that part didn't make a lot of sense. Because she was like the queen of clubs, or... She was a pretty high card in the deck. My guess is Grifter's probably like the three of spades or something. And the last one I'll talk about is Teen Titans.
I read the PDF way back when, just trying to figure out what the heck Future State was. So,
okay,
vague idea of what it was about. It was like, as I recall, it was like two timelines.
Yeah, and it was sometimes it was hard to tell them apart
because they put on they were doing it on the same page.
Like, yeah,
literally on the same page in the beginning. It was like that was not good.
And it was like Dick and whoever the new Red X is.
We don't know.
Yeah, who we don't know in the future. And Dick's costume is more like Deathstroke's than Nightwing's.
Yeah.
And then it's going back in the past where they're, you know, everybody's hanging out at
Titan Tower
and it's
the students and everything. And then somebody gave Dick the mask of Red X as a present or something.
Yeah, like they had found it.
Yeah, in the rubble or something.
Yeah. So, I'm not exactly sure what was happening there, but Dick and whoever this sidekick was looking for a Dial H box, and they were like, well, does it work? And I guess he was like, well, we can't really test it, because it might send us to oblivion.
Yeah.
And then, like, somehow Cyborg and Beast Boy are combined into one person.
I think was it Cybeast? Is that what it was?
Cybeast? Yeah. And they both talk?
Yeah. Almost like in a Deadpool where he has that alternate voice, you know, where it was slapstick. Raven is controlling Shazam, or she has something to do. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, I think Shazam is, like, I think he's part of the
team.
Yeah, I think he's like another part, like he's like running another part of the Titans team.
Yeah.
But Raven is doing something with them, but it's almost like she's controlling them psychically, or I'm not exactly sure how that works. It's a very confusing issue. It's not bad, but it's very confusing. And I want to know who Red X is.
Yeah, in the end, we'll call him Nightwing, goes down into, I guess you'd call it the cage, and they bring him out, and it is Red X, and Nightwing puts on a new mask, and he looks like Deathstroke. Like,
yeah.
Exactly like Deathstroke. So.
It's just like the upper part of his costume is more Nightwing, but the mask is definitely Deathstroke.
Because he keeps on every, throughout the issue, anytime somebody call him like Nightwing, he's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe just something happened and, So, that's what I read.
Which way are we going?
Mike?
Oh, me. Okay.
You only got three anyway.
No, I have more than that.
Ooh.
I read Justice League.
No,
you read that?
I read that one.
It was a little all over the place for me. I had no offense. I'm not interested in these future, like Superman, Wonder Woman. No, I do not like the future Green Lantern.
Who is it?
The one from Far Sector.
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
Yeah, and she's like the universe's great detective. And
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
So, is it Legion of Doom? Is that who it was in there that got killed?
Yeah.
They killed off the Legion of Doom. And you can't really figure out what's going on with that. And then it comes out. What the heck was the name of this group? They were like shapeshifters. That took the place of Justice League.
White Martians, which is just annoying because I remember for so long Martian Manhunter was the last of the Martians, and now this is introducing 10 more. It's like,
Were the green ones or white ones?
White ones.
Yeah.
I thought there was always other white ones.
Was there? Okay.
Yeah, because I think the white ones wiped out
the green ones.
Yeah.
I didn't find it all that interesting. Maybe you guys thought it was more interesting than me.
It just seems when they're just like, oh, Green Lantern, you figure it all out. We'll just go
do what we need to do.
Yeah, like they like went and got an ice cream or something.
Yeah.
It was like, what?
It was very strange. Like she's off doing detective work and they're all like just doing, they got hot dogs.
Yeah. I would love to see that challenge of the Super Friends. Meanwhile, at the hot dog stand.
Yeah, no, it just seemed absolutely ludicrous that they would just be like, meh, oh well, you take care of it.
Well, with them and them, they keep on setting up with them, like, doing that, like, hanging out, because they're not supposed to, like, the Justice League members aren't supposed to hang out or be, you know, friendly with each other as much as the old one, which we see the Aquawoman or whatever, Aquaman's daughter and whoever the new Flash is, like, they're, like, hanging out. And they almost get in trouble for.
Isn't the new Flash like supposed to be like asexual or something?
Yeah, they
referred to him as they.
Gender free. I'm like, really? I need to sell my comics.
I think
like,
it's just non-binary.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Just call him Frank or something. I don't care, Frankie.
Pat. From the, well, not from you, but from the Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
it was
just
so weird. It was weird. The backup story, Justice League Dark, was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They had Detective Chimp in it. Zatanna.
Oh, I love the backup story. Yeah, I thought that was great.
Cool. How long has Bobo had
I think Ezra just this story.
Oh, it's just in this story.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, did they give him that? Like,
no.
In the
it's just in that.
Yeah, the demon is inside him. And the fact that the demon was there was just... freaking awesome.
Yeah, Ragman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I and, you know, of course, Constantine. So.
Yeah, Constantine shows up, and then the very end, we see this old, like, bald dude with a beard.
Right, and then it turns out it was Dr. Fate in hiding.
Yeah.
And the coffee can was his helmet.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
I actually really like that.
It was much better than the Justice League.
Now I want to go back and read his Justice League Dark run.
Yeah. But that's the thing that makes...
because that was Rom V did the backup story.
Yeah, that's the thing I kind of questioned about, like, that new Flash that and it's true of all the characters, right? They're introducing these characters in a way that it's like obviously clear that they're not going to stick around, right? It's same thing with the Suicide Squad team that they introduced. They introduced all these new characters that were actually good.
Yeah.
One of them was non-binary as well,
yeah.
And it's like they're just going to throw it away. So it's like, why are you creating these new characters that are like not set up to stick?
I don't even know if the stories are meant to stick. It's a little odd sometimes. I read Sweet Tooth Return number 3.
Yeah, that too.
It's starting to make more sense now.
A little bit, yeah. They're revealing a little bit more.
So, Sweet Tooth and his little girlfriend, I can't remember her name, are trying to...
I think it's Penny.
Yeah, it's Penny.
They're trying to escape, and they confront, like, one of the masked guards, and they encounter this other person that's like Sweet Tooth. He's just
Penny's an elephant.
Elephant boy or man or whatever.
Yeah.
He, like, doesn't really talk or anything, but he ultimately defends them and literally kills the dude. And they were going to get the one person to try and come with him, the older woman. But she's
one of the nuns.
One of the nuns, but she said no. And they basically did escape. And for me, it was just cool. The last panel kind of reveals, like, it looks like they clone Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of Sweet Tooths in, like... giant test tubes things and stuff like that.
Well, and also while that's going on, the other people, they're having, like, a big, like, town fight to figure out, like, you know, like, is the priest guy...
priest who is Sweet Tooth's dad...
Yeah.
...is saying, we're going to save you, we're going to be the last of mankind, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly just chunks a rock at him, smacks him, and he's, like, telling him he's, like, full of, you know, crap and stuff. So it's starting to make more sense that it's in the future... Sweet Tooth got cloned. And then if you look in the one bottom of the last panel, it looks like it's Sweet Tooth's original
shirt.
Flannel shirt is in there.
That's probably where they got the DNA from.
Yeah, which was kind of cool.
That. Okay.
I'm interested to see, because it seems like they're down in that tavern, like in that like those caves where like they found it in the original series. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested, like, if we actually get to see when they go outside... Like, is it still, like, hybrids? Like, or is it, like, you know, is it some other kind of, like, what, like, you know...
What is this elephant person? Is he a hybrid, or is he just, like, I don't know. He's just... And he doesn't talk. He just kind of mumbles, like...
Yeah, I was thinking he was a hybrid, but I don't know.
I don't know.
He like licked the new sweet tooth with his
his trunk. Which meant
he's okay.
He's friendly with them and stuff. So I really enjoyed it. I'm getting a better idea of what's going on. And the best book I read last week was Erratic Number 2.
I read that too.
I enjoyed it a lot. My problem reading it was I was unclear what happened in the. I knew what happened in the first issue, but who the people were, because there's two blondes. And I was confused. And the blonde girl with the little black streak, I didn't remember at all from the first issue.
She's kind of like the back one, and she's kind of like the bad girl. And the other one is more like the cheerleader.
Right, right. So I was just a little. I'm like, wait, who? What? Yeah.
If they didn't put the black strip in her hair,
they'd be
So Oliver, it's like basically just showing the interactions of Oliver for the day, and we find out that the video that she recorded of Oliver using his powers went bad, because when he uses his powers, it's kind of like an EMP.
Yes, and nothing
distorted
worked.
The video and everything. So
she's all mad about that,
thinking that he did it on purpose. And he's like, no. And eventually she's like, you need to use your powers again, and he's like, no, I don't. Can't really. It's like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They go to a party.
Which how they got to go to the party is because him and his friends are sitting on the benches watching his brother and the football team practice, and somebody chunks the ball at him and he catches it with his face.
Yeah.
So one of the teammates, he thought that was cool, so he invited him, and since he was invited, his friends invited themselves. Yeah.
And poor Oliver,
plus ones.
Poor Oliver's in a neck brace, like not feeling all too good. And he goes to the party, and the one blonde girl's there, and she obviously likes him, but does not let on he likes it.
Because she's one of the cool girls, and he's Oliver. Not.
And then the cool chick with the black stripe in her hair goes over and kisses Oliver and said, that's for you, to get her jealous.
Well, also, whenever they were talking, she recorded him. Yeah. Talking about his powers, so she was going to try to post the audio.
So then they start walking home, and all of a sudden these drones start following them, and they're blasting away, and
that's where I got confused, though. Because they went past him and after her.
Because I think she posted, she had the...
She has knowledge of it, I think.
Okay, yeah, because I'm like, oh, wait a minute, now everything's after her, and it's not so much him.
Yeah.
So maybe she has powers, too.
Yeah, so they're chasing him, blasting away, and he's using his powers, and ultimately, he goes down, and this, I don't know if it's an alien or what it is, or something, picks him up, and he's all in tatters, he's all, messed up, and...
She looks like she just stuck a fork in a socket.
That was pretty good. The artwork's fantastic. The story's great. I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it.
The only problem I have with the book is how this school is set up, because obviously his brother's in high school, and it seems like he's in middle school.
It could be a small town school where they get them all jammed
together. But then also with the party.
I just took it as a senior.
That's what kind of got me like these middle school kids being at
I didn't
a high
see him being
party.
That young. I don't think he's that young.
No, I think he's ninth grade.
Yeah,
I think he's 13. Yeah.
And the other thing is the brother is meant to be the athletic jock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's bigger.
Huge.
Yeah. But if you compare him to his peers, he's not.
Yeah.
He's smaller, but he's not ridiculously smaller. The thing that bugs me in this is the cars. They are photo.
Oh, they are definitely photo. Yeah, because I think he kind of went. I'm not drawing this crap.
Yeah. So it's clear that he just took a picture took a picture of a car.
Yes.
Got the perspective.
Cars are hard
to
draw.
Yeah. So, but it takes me out because the cars are photorealistic and nothing else is. So
it could just be his thing. Trying to do something clever, it might just not work. But
oh, just a time
saver.
He's
I don't want to draw a car.
Yeah.
But that's all I got. But that's still one. That was my favorite book of the week.
I read Space Bastards.
I did too.
That was awesome.
That was a lot of fun.
That was
Derek Robertson art, which you always love, especially when it comes to extreme violence. He's awesome. But I enjoyed that a lot.
So. I pictured Nicolas Cage in this. I don't know if the guy didn't really look like it, but I felt like this is a perfect movie for
he would do the movie version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So plot wise, it opens up with a guy basically losing his job, and he's like, well, I'm infinitely more qualified than this other person that you're keeping.
Who called off three times last week and stuff. Yeah. But of course.
Yeah. So he's desperate for work.
His bank account gets compromised or something, and they're like, oh, well, sorry, it was a mistake. We'll send you a check in 3 to 6 weeks or something.
So he's, but rent's due. So he goes to this, this shady, like, convention to be a, like, intergalactic,
postman. Yeah.
Who we've already seen, because, like, at the beginning of the issue, they kind of introduce them by basically just having, the way the post office works is it's totally a free-for-all. You basically, to become a postman, you're basically just handed this watch that tells you, like, when to pick up a package and where, and a gun. So anybody can do it. There's no qualifications. But they don't care how you get it wherever it needs to go, and you can steal packages from other postmen, including killing them if necessary.
And the more people that get one, the price goes up because the delivery cost goes up.
Yeah, every time it changes hands, they charge a fee. So they encourage people to steal packages and kill each other and just go crazy. So it was a funny scene because he's sitting there, and it's this room that's completely full of people, and they're giving this presentation where they talk about it, and they show people getting up and leaving and leaving and leaving. And then when they turn the lights back on, he's literally the only person sitting there. This, like, entire room has cleared out, and they're like, you're hired. So his first day, it's very much reminding me of the Judge Dredd movie, where, like, you become, like, an apprentice for a day, and if you survive that day, then you're a full-fledged mailman. So they hook him up with this guy who kind of looks like a rhino or a unicorn or something.
Yeah, Manicore.
Manicore.
Manicore or something like that.
And he's the one who we saw at the beginning of the issue, like, successfully kill everybody and deliver the package. So it's, he basically goes on this adventure with him to deliver this package. And Manicore shows him the way, but eventually he double-crosses them and just all of a sudden becomes this, like, super badass.
Yep.
So, it was really, really good, really fun. It reminds me a lot of, that Wanted movie,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you don't know you're a super killer, but because you've been working a desk job your whole life, but now that you're given the chance, you're just a super badass. So, yeah, I really like this. It was a rare, like, first issue where you got a full story. Like,
it was a $6 book, too.
Yeah, but... Was it more than much more than 20 pages?
Yeah, it was probably double. Yeah. Okay, there was a lot to it.
Well, I flew through it, so it didn't feel long to me. So, but no, I highly recommend that. That was probably the best thing I read all week. Maybe up there with like Seven Secrets. So I really dug it. The other thing I read that I think we haven't mentioned, Green Lantern,
mm-hmm.
Future State.
That. Mm-hmm.
So there are three stories. In this.
I like one of them.
Okay, I would say I liked one of them too, but I'm not sure it's going to be the same one.
Okay,
so I liked the first one.
Okay, see,
the main one I wasn't a big fan like of. I don't know if it was the art that kept on throwing me, or I don't know.
For me, it was the plot. Basically, the Lanterns are on a distant planet, trying to rescue some people, and the Lantern has gone out, and they have no powers.
Yeah, they don't have...
So now all of a sudden they all have laser guns and stuff. Knife.
Yeah.
And it just... I'm like, okay, it's your standard sci-fi story. You just happen to know the characters.
The one dog Green Lantern's like Pharaoh now. Yeah.
Gnort.
Yeah, it's true. It's like...
It's just a funny name.
But I did like the art.
I didn't mind the art. I thought the premise was
well. Good. And again, yeah. I think this falls in with a lot of the future state things. Is like we're getting thrown in the middle of a story. Like we don't know why the magistrate is in Gotham. We don't know why the Green Lantern's things aren't mean. It's so I think like if like it's that kind of stuff that kind of it makes that kind of brings some of the stories down a little bit.
But it's like a 10-15 page story, and you at least get like you at least get like kind of a plot. So, or like at least
they
the startup.
And they have like a there's a bad race that they're trying, you know, to go against. And
there's
stuff.
A good race, a bad race, and the bad race of like these purple ape looking creatures. They worship this like blood god type of thing. What was it? The red. I got the sense that it was going to be something like Red Lantern related, but I don't know. That one was good. The second one is
Jessica
Cruz. She also depowered. She's like stuck on this space station.
She's trying to get it working again.
Yeah, and some Yellow Lanterns show up. Mm-hmm. Three Yellow Lanterns. We've seen them before, but I don't remember them.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember the other names.
The book ladies.
But they're definitely...
It's Mouth Guy with no eyes.
Yep.
And
Girl with two mouths for eyes. Yeah.
And like an eye word.
Yeah. They're familiar from the old Sinestro Corps War. Yeah.
Yeah. So they show up, and she...
Takes them out!
Takes them all out, because they're on her turf, which was... Kind of a little weak.
A little, but I enjoyed. But then I enjoyed the end.
Yeah, and
where she took all their rings, and then at the end,
so
the Yellow Lantern starts talking to her, going, "You have the ability to cause great fear."
Yeah, so
which works for here because she suffered great fear, and all that.
I hate her as a character.
Oh, okay, but I'm just saying her pre-story before she became a lantern was where she was in a hiding
like
in a room,
shut-in, right? But even after she got the ring, she was still like, I don't know if I want to go outside.
Yeah.
And it's like you're supposed to have like this super will,
right?
And
I get you there, but I did like that story.
Well, at first, because she first got her powers from the Forever Evil, and she had the power rings,
right?
Which was why she was able to get it. And after that, they gave her a ring. And like that was to help her, with her her anxiety and stuff like that, is why she was having trouble. But I liked her. I liked when her and Baz had their own Green Lantern series together. I thought that was a pretty good run.
That was right at
Rebirth.
Not,
I think.
Rebirth, yeah.
Yeah, that was Rebirth. Green Lanterns.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then the last story was Guy Gardner.
Yeah, so Guy.
That
shows
was an
up,
okay one.
Guy shows up at this planet. While his ring is still working, and he kind of
pisses everybody off because they're all worshiping this piece of space debris, and then he's like, "This is just garbage," and then all of a sudden his ring stops working. He can no longer talk to them, and
so you see him basically being there as like a prophet for 25 years, and I don't know. I don't really remember it. Other than that.
No, then Lobo shows up at the
end. Oh, yeah, Lobo shows up at the end. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, this one suffers from the same problem of all the future states, where it's like, it's you get three stories and, one and a half are good. Let's see, anything else? Star Wars Vader, number 9.
I read that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. This one, Vader, he takes the bounty hunter guy, and he like locks him in this pod.
Yeah.
That he then like puts under his ship, so that he can use the holocron thingy that he
wayfinder.
The wayfinder. That he found.
Holocron too, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but
I think they're pretty much the same thing, but
yeah, one's like a map, I guess. And I don't know. So I'm trying to remember where's he even go? I'm struggling to remember.
The Wayfinder
is
going to lead him to Exegol. Yeah, so I'm like thinking, is that the same one from? That Kylo Ren found?
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got the sense that he gets it from the like arm thingy in the previous issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was like a deleted scene from one of the the sequel movies.
Yeah, because The Rise of Skywalker does start on Mustafar, where they are, where he is now, in the series.
Yeah, I don't know. This is it's weird because all these issues they feel super short. Like the story doesn't progress very much.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. That's it for me. Oh no, I'll mention Sword Number 2.
Yeah,
it's the King first issue Black, I really liked. Yeah. And this one is a King in Black tie-in.
Loosely, I think. I mean, just dealing with what's going on the Earth and that they're outside the Earth and having to deal with...
Who shows up at the end? Because I thought that was like King in Black guy's Cable or something. Young Cable. Because he shows up and he's got the gun and a knife, but then he's all symbiote-y. I have no idea who
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
But, I don't know. It felt very much a...
Right, no. It probably was, but it was like still explaining. Yeah, well, it's still explaining the politics and why she has some of the people on the station. It was an interesting thing between Magneto and one of his former acolytes from the Jim Lee run. That was interesting with them meeting again, and somebody was watching them saying, "Oh, you know, this is doing this again." History is repeating itself. So I found that was interesting. The politics and stuff I thought were interesting.
But I don't know. I was super bummed when this was a...
Yeah, I don't know why stuff is tying into that.
And I bought the variant cover, which, like, I don't think there was... On the variant, I don't think there was any reference to...
There wasn't any on the main cover either.
On the main cover, I thought there was, like, a planet that was covered in...
Maybe, symbiote. But it didn't have the King in Black branding every other book did, yeah. My question, too, is that the only X book that's being affected by King in Black? Because none of the other ones are.
So
I found that a little confusing.
And why wouldn't you put the King in Black banner on?
I agree.
I wonder if they're, like, A-B testing. Okay, make it tie in, but don't tell people to tie in. Does it sell better than if you put the thing on it? That's what I'm wondering. So,
Spencer.
The only thing I have left is Amazing Spider-Man 57. This issue pretty much takes place right after where the last one ended with Peter... coming into the lab where Norman Osborn has Harry still in the Kindred get up inside of the big black casing that's keeping him trapped in there, and they basically they have this big long conversation about how, because like now Norman Osborn he still hasn't, everybody else got their sins and powers back whenever Sin Eater killed himself, except Norman Osborn. He is still affected by the Sin Eater's shotgun. He's actually, you know, feeling remorse and stuff for all the things that he's done to Peter and everybody throughout the years and stuff like that. And he's trying to convince Peter to help him, and like maybe if he talked, because like the thing that they have him trapped in, he can hear and see everything going on, he's just not responding to anybody. So he wanted to see if maybe if Peter or could talk to him, if could get him to say anything, or maybe if he got like Mary Jane to help or something. And Peter is very much is just like, no, I'm done, let him rot in there. He's like, I don't care. He's like, I'm done with you guys. I'm done with the goblins. I'm done with, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they have like a, you know, like a huge argument and stuff like that. And he eventually leaves. So then the other kind of part of the story is they do a flashback, a little bit of flashback where they're still at the cemetery. And Peter's there with MJ, and they're talking, and the rest of the Spider family show up, and they're kind of looking for answers, you know, because they kind of all got dragged into this, you know, into the Kindred stuff, and, he, you know, he told him that, you know, he talked to him, he can't do it now. And then so the rest of the team kind of goes off. It seems like they're going to try to do something where, like, have, like a Spider-People team called the Order. So that's where they leave them. And then the issue ends with Peter coming, you know, after leaving the lab, goes back home to Mary Jane, where she's sleeping, and Peter's ex-girlfriend, Carol, who is the... who works, like, in the morgue and stuff for the police station. Mary Jane asked her a favor. She could bury up a list of some of these bodies and, you know, examine them. I think they were, you know, trying to figure out who Kindred was. And there's this, like, I think there's, like, 15 or 17 of them. And she goes to look through and, like, you know, tries to, you know, check, make sure who's there. And there's, like, an extra person. And when she figures out who it is, she tries to call MJ to warn her, but then she sees a huge, centipede thing like that Kindred had, shows up out of nowhere, and like she drops her phone, and it ends like in her leaving mid-message to Mary Jane, who's sleeping on the couch that we see whenever Spider-Man comes in, and she's just like, it's not over, isn't it? And he's like, no, it's not over, and that's kind of like where the issues end. So I guess we'll have some more Kindred stuff coming up in the, you know, future issues, I guess. But everything else we already talked about.
Okay, I still have three more. I've read the penultimate issue of Penultiman.
So it's penultimate.
Me too.
Which,
a sentence I've been waiting to say.
Still not going well for him.
No, he's semi-retired now in this log cabin reading these books on positivity, and anti-penultiman comes, finds him, kind of warns him not to.
Because he was also on TV, was watching some guy talking who was going to, you know, of the power of positivity.
Yeah. And
I guess one of the things when he was shouting positivity at those two guys that got filmed that went so bad, it was this guy saying.
Right,
so they were
right.
Showing that clip going, look, Penultiman even loves us.
Right. He ends up going to that guy's rally.
Yeah.
And
oh, but yeah. Anti-Penultiman.
But Anti-Penultiman, you know, warns him not to ruin the brand, or he's gonna come after him or something. Then Anti-Penultiman, he doesn't know what to do to fix Penultiman. So he builds his own robot sidekick named Pre-Anti-Penultiman to help him, because it's interesting because Anti-Penultiman is having self-doubt himself.
Right, which is what got to Penultiman.
So that juxtaposition is really interesting. And one more issue to wrap this up.
Right, but he realizes at the end, in order to save him, he's going to have to break him down.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it would be a great final fifth issue here.
Yep.
And I read Ha Ha.
I did too.
Number one.
Yes. Yeah.
New series from the writer of Ice Cream Man.
About clowns.
And yep. This story is about this guy Bart, who goes by Bartleby when he's a clown, and
he's working for a circus that's not doing well, and wife doesn't really think a whole lot of his career.
And the amusement park closes down. He gets fired. He gets mugged in the parking lot
by his friend.
By his friend, who's a fellow clown.
Luckily, his boss told him to stick his severance check in his sock, which he did, so he still had that.
But the thing is, he is relentlessly optimistic about his life.
Mm-hmm.
Amid all this despair, which includes he goes to the bank, and there's a holdup.
Mm-hmm. And these guys wearing these masks. Yeah.
And he's the only one who won't get down on his knees. And he gets shot in the...
Yep, shot in the head.
In the head, and then the fun starts.
Yeah, and luckily it missed everything.
It goes straight through.
Straight through, but apparently I'm going to say it didn't and did some damage.
Yeah.
But then he's driving home, and he sees the guy that mugged him, and he's waving at him, mm-hmm. and he gets home, and he feels like all his kids are, the family's like balloon
yeah,
things.
Yeah,
it was, you can tell things are going to go weird. Although I don't know if he's going to be the main character, or if this was just the story, and then the next one, because the picture for the next one was a different character.
Yeah, I think they're going to be different stories with different artists. But... it wasn't quite... I enjoyed it. It was really well done. Not quite as... I appreciate it. It wasn't quite as dark as the regular Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, just had a guy getting shot in the head. Yeah,
yeah, but he's still... still had a happy outlook to life.
And they took out the bad guys, yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, The Autumnal.
I read that.
Number 4.
I don't like where this is going. I'm not happy with this issue.
No.
No, because I see where it's going, and I didn't like that.
Oh, okay.
It's the backstory of the creature that's haunting the town.
It really creeped me out.
Yeah.
It's like really subtle horror.
Yeah, about this girl who was the most beautiful girl in the town, and this is like probably 1700s, I think.
Yeah,
and she falls in love with this bad guy, and he gets her pregnant, and then he tries to have her drink some concoction kind of that would make her lose the baby, and she refused, and she ran and hid in the woods and lived in the woods and, like, stealing food and stuff. And then when it came time to give birth, the woods actually helped her and the creatures. And so then she goes out to see her betrothed. And he grabs the baby and throws it in the pig pen for the pigs to eat.
Yeah.
Well, she loses her mind. She kills him, kills his dad who walked in, and then goes back into the woods. And I guess there's a song now that the kids would sing in the town about that.
She becomes like one with the trees.
Yeah, and then she becomes one with the trees. And then... every once in a while she would demand a sacrifice, and they'd have to sacrifice a baby to her.
And if they don't, because bad things happen. There's this fire in 1986 at the roller rink.
She's interviewing people. Yeah, but the thing is, remember, her mom sent her away, and then the rink happened after she wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing she was supposed to be the sacrifice. And the only way to stop this is for her to sacrifice herself. Yeah. That's where I see it going. Oh, and I'm like, I'm not happy with that.
Oh, okay.
But it ended very interesting. She's getting a tattoo removed. And all of a sudden she starts getting it on with the tattoo guy, and a leaf hits the window.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Who knew like a leaf could freak me out that much? Because it's so interesting, because that's why they... the leaves and the trees are her eyes and ears.
Right.
And that's why they rake all the leaves, you know, they make sure nothing is near the houses. So they can't, so she can't, like, get close to houses and take a kid.
Yep. Yeah. Creepy, creepy.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got.
That's it? Oh, I got a book. Oh, no, we got one more. Happy Hour, number 3. This was from the week before.
Yeah.
But I don't think we talked about it. They're going, he had just talked to his grandmother, who realized knows what's going on, and he's all bummed about that. And the girl had made a call, but like she had to go away to make this call, and he was really weirded out by that. Like, why did she have to leave? So then they leave there. They're driving, and they get their tires taken out because they're in this town, which is now like Happy Town, and they're having a celebration of happiness. And because they did or said something, all of a sudden they get put on stakes and tied to stakes, and they're throwing stuff. And there was another guy with them. We threw a rock, and I don't know if they killed him or what. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to, you know, get out of it. And they bring some of the happy police show up, and they punch him in the stomach, and he throws up because you're in this, your throw up can tell if you're happy or not. And there's a smiley face in his. And it's like, oh, okay, you are happy. Well, it turns out right before that, the girl told him that she loved him. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out she only told him that so that if something happened, he'd throw up happy. And that kind of really bummed him out. So they're in a motel room, and he can't sleep. He's obsessing over her. And he steals her phone and goes out and hits redial, and it's some guy answered, and that's how it ended. So, oh, it also gave us a little view into the place they're trying to get.
Yeah.
Where it's like the unhappy place, which is really funny because everybody's like being forced to be miserable. So that's the complete opposite, which was kind of funny. And they sent somebody to find the guy that they met who was trying to, you know, be a rebel, and the guy sees the guy pretending to be happy, and he shoots him in the head to release him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, oh yeah, because we thought he...
We thought he'd been turned, but he hadn't been.
Yeah. And then he shoots him. That was great, how you thought he was going to save him.
But yeah, he and he didn't. He just released him. Yeah.
That was great, too.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So that's been a good one. So let's see. King and Black Thunderbolts. This is Matthew Rosenberg. Kingpin has bought the name Thunderbolts, and he puts a team together to go out to pretend to be heroes and sends them out to take on, you know, the King and Black stuff. And it's not going well. They all have to unmask for something, but it's Taskmaster and Rhino and a couple made-up characters who did not survive. Batrock the Leaper. It was just, you know, silly something to do with King and Black with some bad guys. Homesick Pilots. I was really surprised nobody picked this up. Picked up number two. I sold a good bit of number one, and I thought number one was great. This is continuing it. It's this girl who's kind of been taken over by the house, and the house has tasked her with getting the ghosts back that had escaped from the house. And she goes to reclaim a horseshoe from this one girl, and who is just, everything's lucky, everything's perfect. Every guy she meets is perfect, and if he's not, he leaves, and a new one comes along. And her life's great, and she tries to take the horseshoe, and it armors her up, and she fights back and stuff. And it turns out, and she's just, the girl is actually miserable, because everything's perfect, but she has no feeling anymore. So she finally gets a hold of the horseshoe again, and the girl is free from this demon that's in the horseshoe, and then jumps off the top of the building to die, which is fun, great. But then she gets the horseshoe back in the house, and then there's this weird creepy guy with the horseshoe head, and like underneath the horseshoe is just like a mouth, and she looks at him, and she's like, well, how many more ghosts do I have to get? And the guy holds up six fingers, so she has more work to do. But that was really good. I'm really liking that book. I think it's just a mini. Okay. But I'm really liking that. It's an Image one. That was good. Red Atlantis number three. Continuing this one where the weird stuff's going on, the Russian stuff, and the girl stopped the bullets, and just kind of continuing on with their story. That's the guy with the horseshoe head. Really creepy look.
I didn't realize that came out. I'm going to read it now.
Okay. It was really good. I really like that. Red Atlantis is continuing the story. It's just kind of continuing. It's mostly about the other people, not so much about the girl, but there's more about the agents and stuff, and this other agency that's trying to hunt them down that actually turns out now are Russians. So that was good. And then the last one I read was god-awful. It was the Chris Claremont anniversary special, and it was basically like they just said to him, hey, you want to write a book with, you know, some of the characters you created? And that's all it was. It made no sense.
Claremont wrote it?
Yeah. And, like, it started off was great. It was Danny Moonstar, Bill Sienkiewicz art. That was awesome. And then all of a sudden, Danny Moonstar is, like, tasked by Hela to do something. And all of a sudden, she shows up. And the Fantastic Four is fighting the Fantastic Four, but it's all these different versions. And it was bizarre. And then other bizarre... And then it goes to Rogue fighting Ms. Marvel, because I guess he did that, and it just, it was like a greatest hits book. I did not enjoy it at all.
What was the cover price?
I couldn't tell you.
Which one was this?
It was just the Chris Claremont anniversary special. Yeah, I did not care for that one bit.
I think he sold out of that.
I did. I went to look for it. Yeah, I did sell out.
Well, Colin retracts the statement he just made.
No, I'm glad I don't have any more. I just did not. Maybe if I, you know, was a bigger fan and gave it more attention, but probably about halfway through, it was kind of like, okay. Just trying to. It was not. It was very. Especially that Fantastic Four part was just bizarre. Like all these alternate reality Fantastic Fours all fighting.
Okay.
Like there was one where Reed died and Sue married Namor and they had a kid. And.
Did he have little wings on his ankles too?
No, it was a girl because her name was Valeria, but I don't remember the wings. But it was just. It was weird.
Are they. Did I dream this? Or are they putting out the Claremont, like when he quit? Aren't they going to like go back and redo that?
They're doing some X-Men Untold Stories type thing, but I'm not sure exactly what it is.
But they got that X-Men Forever thing coming out.
I think it's Fabian's writing it.
I think it's called Legends.
Legends,
yeah.
Maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because like finishing up unfinished storylines or something.
Because I had always heard that Claremont left X-Men. Because he wanted to kill Magneto and, like...
That's not nice.
Like, kill Wolverine, but then bring him back as, like, something else.
Okay.
And Jim Lee was not on board with it, and Jim Lee was, like, the superstar.
Okay.
So, editorial, which I think was Harris at the time, sided with Jim Lee. So, Claremont left, and then, like, 6 months later, Jim Lee left to do Image.
Okay.
And that was... So...
Gotcha. Okay.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
We got Batman Black and White number 2. Batman White Knight presents Harley Quinn number 4. We have Future State giving us Aquaman number 1. Batman Superman number 1. Dark Detective number 2. Legion of Superheroes number 1. Suicide Squad number 1. Superman versus Imperious Lex. That's a Mark Russell book. We also got Joker Harley Criminal Sanity number 7. The penultimate issue. Other History of the DC Universe 2 and Strange Adventures number 8. And then from the other group, we have Spider-Man 58. Spencer's excited.
Is that a weekly book?
No, well, there was one this week, so
see. Yeah.
Okay.
Daredevil 26, which is a King
we
and Black
any LRs.
Tie-in. we got Deadpool 10 as a King and Black tie-in. Department of Truth number 5. Dune House of Treaties number 4. Excalibur 17. Firefly 25. King and Black Namor number 3, New Mutants 15, new previews, so previews orders are due next week, please get them in. Dave, we got Riverdale Presents the Southside Serpents.
Yes.
Savage Avengers 17 is a King and Black tie-in, so Conan versus the Nulls, that should be good. Spawn 314, Spawn's been huge lately. Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 9, Star Wars High Republic number 1, the second printing, so if you missed out, we've got more coming. Unkindness of Ravens. I like this one. It's number 5 of 4.
What?
It sounds like a Marvel.
Top
thing.
Line. What does it say?
Okay.
Yeah. That was that one that was like the craft.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you read that one?
Yeah.
I read the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. The book's interesting, but yeah, 5 of 4. We only find them when they're dead. Number 5. Werewolf by Night. Number 4. That's the end of that one. Wolverine number 9.
They went back down to the normal number and they didn't stay with the.
Right, they didn't make it. Right, no. That's the way they can do 400 when it hits 50.
Yeah. Yeah, but can we just do that after 351? Can we just have.
No, because 351 number is too big and that's going to scare people away. X-Men 17, and we're getting just about ready to reboot that one. And X-O Man of War number 4. So, a lot more coming next week, which makes me happy. Let me see just for fun.
There's like, what, 38 different covers of that Dynamite book?
Oh, geez, yeah. We got Betty Page with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 covers. We have, Dynamite has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 covers.
But do those books, like, sell enough to like... I mean, just not for you, but I'm just talking about, like, in general.
I hear you. Oh, God, there's 4 Dynamite books next week. Okay. Red Sonja has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 covers. Oh, Sacred Six has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. And then Vampirella Dark Powers has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21 covers.
And there's no way that they so let that, the that people see all 21 covers.
Well, it's not even that, because it's like five covers, and then you got the Virgin, then the black and white, and then the red tint, and then So it's not like they're all super different. But it was funny. This week was 3 pages for Diamond. Next week is 5 pages for Diamond. But I'm gonna guess Dynamite's probably taken up 2.5 of those pages.
Yeah. So
maybe it just seems like more.
So it's going to be a Dynamite but week, is what you're saying.
It's going to be a Dynamite week. But for me, I've been having a lot of success selling those on eBay. So the extras, it's worthwhile getting them, because, you know, the one at 50s, the one in 20s, those have an audience, because people whose stores can't get them. But, yeah, it clogs up my wall pretty quick. So that's what's coming next week. Previews orders are due next week. Please get those in. Due Thursday. It's Hulk month, so double points on all Hulk books. And I think that's about it. Mike!
And that's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.